Now, the combined North and South Korean Olympic team was greeted with a standing ovation and enthusiastic applause at the opening ceremonies of the Pyeongchang Winter Olympic Games. But in the VIP booth, the atmosphere was considerably more chilly, with U.S. Vice President Mike Pence choosing to remain seated.
Pence and North Korean envoy Kim Yo-jong, the sister of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, both chose to ignore each other, and no interactions were observed.
But outside of that setting, Kim Yo-jong was treated warmly and her presence was welcomed, especially when she delivered overtures like an invitation for South Korean President Moon Jae-in to visit Pyongyang for talks.
Despite his approach to the games, Pence indicated shortly after that Washington might be open to communication with Pyongyang after all.
Uk He is a university distinguished professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He specializes in international relations, comparative politics, and Asian politics, particularly those of the Korean Peninsula. Uk, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, pleasure is mine.
Do we know who made the first move for North Korea to send athletes to compete in Pyeongchang?
I'm not exactly sure whether I believe that South Korea made the first move, but publicly it wasn't released. South Korea was interested in taking the initiative because it could symbolize to ease tensions in the region. So that's the reason I believe the Seoul government made the first move.
And those arrangements happened not very long before the opening ceremonies, the beginning of the games. There had to be some special arrangements made to allow those athletes to compete. Do we know if the U.S. was in favor of making those exceptions and making that happen?
Eventually, the U.S. government had to agree because in order to have North Korean athletes in South Korea, they had to break some UN sanctions. So Washington eventually agreed, but I don't think Washington was very enthusiastic about it.
And for someone like you who studies Korean politics and is also Korean, what was it like to watch that combined Korean team enter the stadium?
Well, I guess, yeah, different Koreans can have different feelings. I personally did not like that because having a unified team is just a political show. It doesn't really have any practical meaning. Moreover, politicians wanted to put up a show like that at the price of individual athletes. In order to make room for North Korean athletes, some South Korean hockey players, after working for years to be on the national team, they had to give up their seats. Mm. So I don't think it was fair to those athletes.
So the position of different South Korean governments has changed or shifted over the years regarding relations with North Korea. How would you characterize the position of South Korean President Moon Jae-in's administration on relations with the North?
In Korea, since Korea democratized in 1987, there have been shifts between conservatives and progressives. When conservative governments, they favored a hardline approach of putting pressure on North Korea for nuclear dismantling. However, progressive governments always employed engagement, and they preferred engagement policies, and they looked at North Korea from compatriotic perspective rather than prime enemy with a nuclear threat. Because of that, Washington and Seoul had disagreements and sometimes frictions when there is a conservative administration in Washington while there's a progressive government in Seoul, which is the case today.
So
the current government is a progressive and more sympathetic to the North and prefer engagement and dialogue.
And, Uk, as you said earlier in relation to, you know, how you viewed and how different Koreans might view that unified team coming in, there are also, like in any country, there are different threads of belief and conviction in South Korean society. Are there parts of South Korean society that ally more with, say, what the Trump administration's approach is rather than their own government's approach?
Absolutely. See, whenever this North Korea policy is debated, conservatives have favored putting more pressure and lacking or not providing aid to North Korea. And they sided with Washington's approach of putting more pressure on North Korea. So there's a conservative side. At the same time, there are progressives who see North Koreans as fellow Koreans from a compatriotic perspective, and they feel that North Korea is doing poorly and we need to help them. And so they try to see things from North Koreans' perspective. Having said that, when you look at things from North Korean perspective, there are two different perspectives. They're citizens and authoritarian leaders. So which one are you looking at that can lead to a different preference?
Ook Hoo is a university distinguished professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. We're talking about current relationships between North Korea, South Korea, and Washington. And Ook, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un sent his sister, Kim Yo-jung, as his representative to the Games. What do we know about her?
Oh, not much. It has nothing much has been known about her. But see, there was an anecdote when Kim Jong-nam officially number one ranked representing North Korea. But when they visited the Korean president's mansion, Blue House, see, Kim Jong-nam was going to sit in the main chair facing Korean President Moon Jae-in. But when Kim Yo-jong came in, Kim Jong-nam yielded the seat. And Kim Yo-jong actually did not take the seat. It symbolized the power of Kim Yo-jong. So besides Kim Jong-un, Kim Yo-jong, who is a sister of Kim Jong-un, is the second highly ranked person in North Korea.
And has she taken this role as representative of her brother, the North Korean leader, in other settings, say, with allies of North Korea, like perhaps China?
No, it hasn't happened yet. So this is the first time. She has not represented North Korea diplomatically in dealing with other countries yet.
And how would you say that she was received overall?
She was well received by the Korean government and she brought a letter of Kim Jong-un and invited South Korean President Moon Jae-in to North Korea. So she was actually quite tactful and she was well received. So I believe she achieved her objective of coming down to South Korea.
As you just mentioned, she delivered a letter from her brother, Kim Jong-un, to South Korean President Moon Jae-in, inviting him to Pyongyang for talks. How significant is that? That seems like a pretty big step.
It is. In my opinion, Kim Jong-un is, even though he's bluffing of attacking the United States with nuclear weapons or whatever all kinds of rhetorics, but in some ways, he is also scared about the potential attack by U.S. forces. So I believe that he wants to get out of this brinkmanship and potential U.S. strike on North Korea, and he wants to create a disguised peaceful mood, and that's what he is trying to do. And I believe he was quite successful, and there was some room between Seoul and Washington in terms of talking to North Korea and having a potential summit meeting. See, there was a report yesterday in one of the Korean main newspapers that the reason Michael Pence, U.S. Vice President, changed his position from being hostile and did not wanting to talk to Kim Yo-jong or any North Korean official, but on the return flight, he opened the possibility of dialogue with North Korea. According to a media released yesterday, one of the Korean media's words, see, Michael Pence asked Moon Jae-in, why would you want to talk to North Korea? And South Korean President Moon Jae-in responded that he will talk and the talk would be only meaningful if North Korea is willing to take a step towards nuclear dismantling. In other words, Michael Pence and President Moon were on the same page that talks does not mean anything. They will make a positive move only if North Korea take a step towards nuclear disarmament.
We're talking with Uk He about the current state of U.S.-North Korean relations. He's a university distinguished professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the Trump administration's hard line on North Korea? Do you think that the overtures by North Korea are genuine and a sign of more openness? Or do you think it's a calculated to drive a wedge between Washington and Seoul? How afraid are you of an escalation of tensions between the U.S. and North Korea? You can call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We'll continue the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Jake Carlisle-Larson. We're continuing our look at the state of U.S.-North Korean relations after the North sent athletes and envoys to the Winter Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Our guest is Uk He of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think that the North is acting in good faith, or is this just a calculated PR move? And does it matter? How should Seoul and Washington respond? Call 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. And we talked about the fact that Kim Yo-jung and Vice President Pence were in the VIP booth together and that they basically decided to ignore each other and not acknowledge each other. Do you think that either one or the other might have made a different choice in that situation?
Oh, I don't think so. See, so far, both of them are trying to have power over the other, and there's no mood for dialogue or conversation. So even if in other situations, encounters like this, they would be acting in a very similar way. So I don't think there was any surprise with that.
Let's go to the phones, and Patrick in Milwaukee is up first. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, this is another opportunity for our country to show how great and brave we are, and, you know, not continue down the road of saber rattling. It's only more threatening to the people directly around that, around, you know, the South Koreans, the Japanese. So I wish Trump would not try to play the good cop, bad cop guy and try a sincere diplomacy towards peace.
Thanks so much for that call, Patrick. And Uk, I wanted to ask you, and it folds into what Patrick just said. You know, in October, President Trump tweeted, "I told Rex Tillerson, our wonderful Secretary of State, that he is wasting his time trying to negotiate with Little Rocket Man. Save your energy, Rex. We'll do what has to be done." Then yesterday, Tillerson was asked about talks with North Korea when he was in Egypt, and he said, as we've said for some time, it's really up to the North Koreans to decide when they're ready to engage with us in a sincere way, a meaningful way. They know what has to be on the table for conversation. So look, with Trump and Pence and Tillerson all in the fray and some tendencies towards saber rattling, as Patrick said, who do you think at this point is really setting the course for where this relationship might go?
Oh, I don't think anyone is dominating. It's a game between three, four different players. And see, in order to, because their goals are different, in order to talk about what path we should take or what we want to achieve through this kind of political behavior is, it has to start from analyzing what North Korea wants with nuclear weapons and why they want to have the bomb. See, unless we analyze and discuss that, all these kinds are just in the middle of routes that they are trying to achieve certain political goals, and Washington wants to have other political goals, and they can confront each other. And so, see, I don't think I can talk about this because it takes a while to understand why they want and what Washington wants and why these two countries are facing this level of tension and what's at stake and what South Korea wants in this situation. It's a complex equation that mm-hmm. we are dealing with.
And in just a little less than a minute that we have, Uk, what do you think the North's next move might be?
They will continue to do so, that they will bluff in one way and use a harsh rhetoric. And but at the same time, after the Pyeongchang Olympic Games, in my personal opinion, they are not going to push any further. They will see how South Korea reacts to North Korea, and they will try to have a peaceful mood so that they will try to have friction or a disagreement between Washington and Seoul. That's the goal of sending Kim Yo-jong and the envoys to Pyeongchang. They want to have a room between Seoul and Washington so that they can get in there and try to create disagreements.
Well, certainly a lot for us to follow up on there. Thank you so much for joining us today, Uk.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Uk He is a university distinguished professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He specializes in international relations, comparative politics, and Asian politics, particularly those of the Korean Peninsula. And he joined us to discuss the current state of U.S. relations with both North and South Korea.